Hi, everybody. I'm Daryl, compulsive overeater, and we are on step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Yeah, this is an interesting step because for me, it really wasn't an action step that it seemed like that I was always required to do something myself. It wasn't just that it was going to happen and it was a matter of me accepting it. It seemed to be a process to where I was expected to do my part, and God sometimes only gave me hints. He didn't give me the, okay, Daryl, this is what I want you to do. He would just kind of give me a hint, and it was up to me to figure out whether that's what he wanted me to do or not. And it's really interesting as I had an occasion to look back over my OA history and my step 11 history and see how much it changed my life, and it did so in one day at a time, and it just what we always say here. And I look back at it, and I say, how did that happen? When I came into the program, I was in a family business my dad had started. I was the president of the company, and I always felt like I had been kind of trapped in that position because I was the oldest, and so naturally I would go into the family business, and I did. And everybody was happy except me, I think. And anyway, but one day after I got into program, I straightened out a lot of the, because a lot of the amends that I had to make were business related. But after I'd straightened that part of it out, I was one day I was invited to breakfast by a couple of guys that were competitors of mine, and not really friendly competitors. And so I went out to breakfast, and they basically told me they wanted to buy our business, and eventually they did. They purchased the business, and I went to work for them for, we had a 5-year contract, and I was free of that job. And so the thing that had always really had nailed me down was that it was a job that gave me the this gave me an opportunity to take a second look at what did I wanted to do. And so I was contemplating that, and one day I got this idea that maybe I should be a therapist. And I thought, no, that's a stupid idea. I threw it out immediately. But the very next day I went to my therapist session, my therapy session, and my therapist said, "Have you ever thought of going into this field?" And at first I lied and said no. And then I said, "No, I really have," but I didn't know if it was something that I would really want to do. And he said, "Well," he says, "you think about it because I think you'd be good at it." And that was the end of our conversation there. But now, so God's given me this hint, and so the question is it something I really want to do? So I don't know that much about giving therapy and that, so. I decided that the best way to find out is to take a class in it. So I went to Cal State Fullerton, and I enrolled, and I took a class in basic psychotherapy, and it was it included some historical stuff and some of the things that were actually being used as methods currently at that time. And it says in the and the fact is in the chapter we just read, it says we pause when agitated or doubtful. So I was doubtful, and I ended up pausing for about 6 months as while I took this course. And so I took the course, and I was thinking, I really think I could do this, except for one thing. The one thing that bothered me was that, of course, I had this program outlook on life, and a lot of these guys that were these really famous therapists were atheists. And I said, "How the hell can that be?" And it really bothered me, and I didn't know if I wanted to sign up for that. And so one day I was reading through the Bible, and I ran across a footnote that led me to another footnote to another, and I ended up and I think I'm not sure about the book, but it was one of the New Testament books, and it talked about natural and supernatural man, and all of a sudden it hit me. Of course, these guys had figured out how natural man worked, and so they were very effective in working with natural man. But of course, God is the author of natural man and supernatural man. So my job was to, if I wanted to be a therapist, I had to be as good as working with natural man as they were. But I also could go and do something they couldn't do, is address supernatural man, which is our prayer life and our spiritual side too. And so I decided that I was going to give it a try. And so the next thing that I had to do is determine where I was going to go to school, because the places that I checked into at the time, the two. The Azusa Pacific and what was it, Fuller, and they did not take part-time students. You had to be a full-time student. Well, I had a job, so I could only I had to go to night school, and so I went to and so then I'm still in this process of it's not all falling together yet. And I went to a meeting, and I still remember Linda S. that said to me that there was a new school opening up, and it was Christian based. I had made up my mind that it had to be a Christian based thing, and that she was going to go to an open house that they were having that night. And I said, "Well, heck, I'll go to that open house too." So I went to it. And as soon as I walked in the door, I knew that was the school for me, because you'd never believe what they had. They had a rug on the floor, a big rug, that was a likeness of Saint Francis. And of course, as you guys know, this 11-step prayer is a Saint Francis prayer. And so as soon as I saw that, I said, "I'm going to the school." And so I told my therapist. He said, "Don't go to that school." He said, "It's a lousy school." And I said, "I'm going." And so anyway, and I did. And you know what? I passed the exam first time through. I'm kind of condensing here, because that was an 8-year process, by the way, making up my mind and then getting licensed in that. And so then and just watching my whole life unfold in front of me, by me not ju by me just doing one thing at a time, saying yes to the next thing, investigating the next thing. And that was it. And it was just like that. I was being led, little by little, down this path, and so much of my life happened that way. That I know that passing the exam, for example, that the only one out of three passed the exam, and a lot of these people had taken it several times and flunked several times. So anyway, I do the preparation for it, and the exam, oral exam, was the tough part, and that's where they gave you a vignette. It was a one paragraph, and it was I told about somebody that comes into your office, and how are you going to handle the case, and these guys are going to grill you for 20 minutes on how you're going to handle the case. My fear was I was going to get hold of something that I wasn't familiar with, because I was still far from perfect in the practice exams and that. And wouldn't you know that when they gave me the vignette is some guy that has a history of being an alcoholic that doesn't show up for work on Monday morning. And so it was just so perfect. Tell me there's not a God. And so, and of course, yeah, I'd wonder whether he's been going to meeting. I'd wonder if he's been calling his sponsor. And needless to say that that it was something that was right up my alley, and I was able to pass that exam. But then the I was looking for employment as a therapist once that happened. And that was not easy. Everybody wanted 2 or 3 years post licensing experience, and I was 60 years old, so I didn't have 2 or 3 years to give anybody. And so I just said, the heck with it. I've been in business before. I just opened my own office, and I did. And I opened my own office there in my hometown, and just hung my shingle out, and that started it. The other day, my son and I were cleaning out some files that I had here at home from when I retired, and we were moving them down to the files down at down in the storage unit. I'm required to keep files for 7 years, and so I'm moving them down there, and when I'm putting them in some of the file cabinets down there that had been stored there from my office, and I found the something said contract, and so I got it. And when I we when I opened my practice, I was seeing Peter Smith as a mentor, and Peter told me, he says, "Okay," says, "I want you to do. I want you to draw up a contract, and you and Ann sign it, selling your practice to God." And so I found the contract, and I saw it, and I started as I'm reading it. My son was there, and he saw me starting to choke up, and he says, "What's going on?" And I said, "I'll show you later." But what struck me as I was reading through it is that it was such a beautiful blend of program and this contractual arrangement. And I realized as I read it that and so this was Ann and I signed this thing in 2001, and I retired last year, and so this was almost 25 years ago, that we wrote it. So as I'm reading it, I realized that everything that God agreed to do, He did, and everything we agreed to do, we did. That we had completed this contract, and it was just so meaningful for me that to know that that this whole chunk of my life, this 20 some odd years, because the 20 years is it was in practice, but then the 8 years working up to it. So it was a really a big chunk of my life to know that I ended up doing what I was supposed to do. And that felt so good to me to have this kind of a validation, I guess. That and but then I reflected as we were talking about step 11, that I reflected on it that that's exactly what step 11 is about, is knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. That's what we pray for. And so when as I learned what His will was, and I just did the best I could one day at a time. And we come to the end of this thing and looking back at it, and it's just an amazing experience. I want to read the contract if you don't mind. It says the identification of the parties: God, also known as Jesus Christ, higher power, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, our Creator, and the other parties are Daryl Bartolotti and Ann Bartolotti. And consideration for the contract: Daryl and Ann agree to offer themselves and their practice to God. God is to build with them and to do with them and with the practice as He willed, to relieve them of the bondage of self, that they may better do His will, to take away their difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those they would help. And then in parentheses, the poor, the lonely, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, those who mourn, and the blind. Of God's power, God's love, and God's way of life, Daryl and Ann solemnly agree to do God's will always. In addition, they agree to give at least 10% of their gross earnings to God's enterprises in the form of donations, to God's children in the form of reduced fees, or when indicated, pro bono work. Terms. Daryl and Ann, for their part, promise to be painstaking about this phase of their development. God, for his part, promises that Daryl and Ann will be amazed before they are halfway through. He further promises that they are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. They will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. God further promises that they will comprehend the word serenity and they will know peace, that no matter how far down the scale they have gone, they will see how their experience can benefit others. Their feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. God promises that Daryl and Ann will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in their fellows. In addition, God promises that self-seeking will slip away and their whole attitude and outlook on life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave them. They will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle them. They will suddenly realize that God is doing for them what they could not do for themselves. God wishes to emphasize that these are not extravagant promises. He states that they are being fulfilled among people just like Daryl and Ann, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. God states that his promises will always materialize if Daryl and Ann work for them. Daryl and Ann agree to carry the vision of God's will into all their activities every day. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. God states that these are thoughts which must go with them constantly. They can exercise their willpower along this line all they wish. It is the proper use of the will. The summation of the terms and conditions contained herein, Daryl and Ann agree to sell their practice to God. They further agree to do the footwork diligently, tithing as indicated. God agrees to handle all outcomes according to his good pleasure. Daryl and Ann agree to accept these outcomes unconditionally. Delivery. This contract is meant to be suggestive only. Daryl and Ann realize they know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to them, and they will ask in their morning meditation what they can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if their own house is in order, but obviously they cannot transmit something they haven't got. They will see to it that their relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for them and countless others. This is the great fact for Daryl and Ann. They will abandon themselves to God as they understand God. They will admit their faults to him and to their fellows. They will clear away the wreckage of their past. They will give freely of what they find, and they will ask others to join them. They shall be together in the fellowship of the Spirit, and they will surely meet some other partners of God as they trudge a road of happy destiny. And God agrees unequivocally to bless them and keep them until then and for eternity. Execution, which says, "Our Creator, we are now willing that you should have all of us, good and bad. We pray that you now remove from us every single defect of character which stands in the way of our usefulness to you and our fellows. Grant us strength as we go out from here to do your bidding. Amen." And then we signed it, and God signed it too. And so that was our contract. It's been sitting in that file cabinet for all this time, and I find it this week of all times. And it's just to me, it's just amazing that like I it's not something I would ever thought of myself, and for have somebody suggest it, and to realize that that's exactly what I needed to do. What we need to do is important because one of the things is that there's a Christian symbol that I had on my card, and my therapist said, "Hey, you shouldn't have that symbol on your card. You're going to cut your business in half." And And so I said, no, I'm going to have to leave there. But then I started thinking, maybe he's right. Maybe I should have two cards. Maybe I should have one card that has a symbol on it and one that doesn't. And so I told Anne, I said, yeah, maybe I'll have two cards. And she said, let me see if I get this straight. So we sell the business to to God, and now you want to take his name off the business card? I said, well, I guess not when you put it that way. And so so he remained on the business card. And that, but and so much of our life has turned out to be that way, that there's been things that that seem like coincidences. When Ann and I got engaged, we were I was was and am Catholic, and she was Protestant, and so for me, I needed to get an annulment, and so we agreed that we were going to stay sexually abstinent until we got married and our wedding night. So we start the pro I start the process of getting the my previous marriage annulled, and so time just keeps going by, and she and I'm by this time I'm in school and doing all this stuff, and we're still waiting, and as 1 year goes by, 2 years go by. And we started thinking, well, it's got to be it's got to be now in this third year, it's got to be up, so let's start making arrangements. So we made arrangements, so we were going to spend our honeymoon night up at the lodge in Yosemite. We were going to we set it on a date, and we were going to get married on that date, and in that and but we're still waiting for the annulment to come through, and it's not coming through. And so now we're at a place of where we're going to have to make a decision. Either we're going to move ahead with the wedding and without the annulment, or we're going to have to fold everything, cancel everything, and just wait. And so we decided, well, I think the right thing to do is to cancel everything and wait. So we did. We canceled everything. And Anne had this idea that she wanted a special angel on her wedding cake. And so we had gone to a retreat down in Laguna, and we were coming back. I asked her about the angel, and she said, I'll know it when I see it. And so we're waiting for the annulment, and we go to the retreat, and on the way back from the retreat, she said, "There's an angel store in Capistrano, and let's stop by there." So we had to park about a half a block away, and so we're walking down the sidewalk towards the store, and she says, "There it is," and it's the angel. It's in the window, and we bought it, obviously, and we came home, and the annulment was in the mailbox. And you can't tell me that there's not a God that is organizing these things, because that just can't happen. And and interesting thing is that we canceled everything except the lodge up at Yosemite. And so we're not we'd always wanted to go there, so we're going there. And so we didn't cancel that. We went up there, even though we weren't married, and that we went up there, and we come down for breakfast, and the waiter says, he says, "Here, I've got a special table for you," and he takes us all the way to this table for two. And it's right below the view of Yosemite Falls. Beautiful, beautiful view. And he says, "We call this a honeymoon table." And one more time, God had come through, and he put his stamp of approval on it, and basically we both took it as a good job, kids. That was the message. And so, and just been blessed in so many different ways through this program, and all of these things that that happened just because we do the things that they tell us to do. this book tells us exactly how to do this, how to work this step. When I first started working the steps, to talk a little bit about the prayer and meditation, that I did a lot of formal meditation. Once I started having kids, it was a different ball game, and then it was getting kids ready, dropping them off at daycare, dropping them off at school. Anne was off to work. She worked downtown, so she had to leave early. Okay, I got it, Georgia. Thanks. So she had to go to work early, so she was off, and so I was getting the boys off to school and everything, and I had to go to my meeting, so I went to the Skivvy morning meeting every morning. It was I think it was 6:15 in those days, and then I would go to church and get the boys dropped off and do all of this stuff, and then I would finally start working. And so I really I had to give up my practice of the meditation. But what I started doing instead is something my sponsor does, is that she spends a quiet time every day, and then I can find that quiet time when I first get up. And the whole house is asleep, and that quiet time, even though it may not be formal meditation, it's a real good time of reflection for me, and it really does help me get centered on the day. As you know, that during before we started this series, that every other Wednesday I was going to a centering prayer group. And trying to become more proficient in that, which is a form of meditation, so I'm it's one of the things. So I'm just saying that that part's a work in process. So I'll get a chance to revisit that pretty soon. And that's but anyway, so I guess the step 11, the bottom line, is to show up, say yes to whatever God sends my way, and to see where it leads me. It's almost like that it's going on some sort of an adventure or something. That it's just hard to know what God has in mind. But the interesting thing is that when looking backwards, I can see perfectly that I was guided exactly the way I needed to be guided. But yet, when I look forward, I have to, all of this doubt and this uncertainty and everything. And I think that the desire to do God's will is what he's looking for. He doesn't need us to do it perfectly. He just needs us to want to do his will. And I think that that's the thing that I have to remember, is that I have to bring that in. You know, there was a guy that's it was was still alive, and when I was a youngster, but who turned out to be a saint in the Catholic Church years after he passed away, and that. But he made the remark to somebody that knew him that the most powerful prayer in the world is, "Thy will be done." And we have that so much a part of our program, and so much a part of step 11, that thy will be done, that every time that we follow that we are reciting and putting into action the most powerful prayer in the world. That's it. Thanks.